You got your Bibles and open up to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start there in a few moments. If you need a little help, a little unfamiliar with Scripture, you can look in the Pew Bible. It's page 1221. That'll take you to 1 John chapter 5. This morning I want to take a little bit of time and talk about those who love Him. Talking about loving God, it's really a lesson that has a lot to deal with in terms of making sure that we examine ourselves. What is God really looking for among those who love Him? What is He looking for among those of us who have been washed by the blood of Christ, where He would say, I know that you love me? As we go through these three passages, we're going to look at two verses here in 1 John, and then two more passages out of the book of James. I want you to look at them in terms of what is God looking for from those that love Him. I want you to notice here in 1 John chapter 5, the first aspect is going to be those who love Him keep His commandments and they're not burdensome. At times, maybe we feel like the commandments are a burden. But I want you to notice these two verses. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. He starts off with this direction. He says, but this we know that we love the children of God. Our relationship with how we love God has an effect on every single one of us. He says, if you really want to love each other, then first of all, there has to be a love for God. He says, and because of that love for Him, He says, you'll also observe and keep His commandments. It goes beyond just a knowing His commandments. It's not just a shallow knowledge. It's actually the idea of keeping them. Maybe think about it this way. I can remember a time when I was younger and my grandfather told me, he said, don't go beyond the barbed wire fence. And I thought, okay. And then I saw one of my cousins go beyond the barbed wire fence and he paid the price for it. He encountered some animals he didn't think were there. And you realize, I knew then, whenever my grandfather told me not to go beyond the barbed wire fence, it wasn't just to set up another burden to put on me. It was there to protect me. And too many times we look at the commandments of God and we say, yeah, but they keep me from doing this. And here's God saying, no, I'm protecting you from that. And so how do you look at the commandments of God? Do you see them as a burden? Or do you see them as protection? The same illustration holds true for us in Jesus. If here we are, we see a brother or sister in Christ, and they take off to no longer honor the commandments of God, and we say, well, boy, they don't seem like they're being hurt any. Maybe that would be okay for me too. What's happened? We've chosen to look at them and say, well, they don't seem to be hurt. I'll do the same thing. Whereas if we love God and we keep His commandments, it shows a greater love for one another. This can even happen in our own households with siblings. They say, well, they did the same thing. How come they didn't get punished for it? They didn't get caught. What about in a workplace? Someone comes in, you think, boy, they come in late every day. Boss never says anything to them. And then you come in late one day and they talk to you about it. How do you feel about it? Well, I looked at my coworker and I thought it was okay, as opposed to doing what's right and what's expected of God's people. Now, I want you to take a look at verse 3. Notice how this continues. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. He says, this is what's tied around truly loving Him. Do we keep His commandments? And then even a step beyond, do we look at His commandments and say, you know what, it's not a burden to keep them. Maybe you think about a large ship out on the ocean. You think the ship feels like it's a burden to carry around that anchor? Think the ship goes, oh, this is terrible. Why do we have to haul that thing? It's so heavy. It comes with big old long chain links and everything else. And yet in the midst of the storm, what does the ship long for? To be grounded. Keeping the commandments are what keep us anchored with God. And so in the midst of all the difficulties, we don't find a burden. We find someone who will protect us and hold us and draw us near to Him. So as you think in terms of those who love Him, keep His commandments, and they are not a burden to Him. I want you to think of it maybe even a step further. When you realize the commandments are not a burden, but they're a protection. Every single one of us in our relationship with God has submission at the heart of it. That's what a relationship between a Lord and a servant is. When you realize that submission is part of every relationship, consider it this way. Our shepherds here among us, they submit to the chief shepherd, along with all the rest. Think about in terms of for us as the flock, the church here. We submit to their leadership as they submit to Christ. In our own homes, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Think about it within your family setting with children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Does submission ever become a burden? Do we ever think it's okay to step outside of this? It'll be fine. We can't be people who claim to love God and not care about submitting to Him. Those two don't go hand in hand. That's a deception. When we start to pile through things that way, I can't be someone who goes to work and say, you know what, I'm not going to submit to my manager, even though what they're asking is okay and fine. I love the Lord. That's not loving the Lord. That's deceiving our own hearts and our own selves. Those who love Him keep His commandments. And they're not a burden to Him. Because they realize it's ordained by God and how things are to be handled. And if we want to be anchored with Him, we've got to hold to Him. And to not see them as a burden, but to see them as a protection. Now let's take a look at another one. Look over at the book of James, page 1207. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, look down at verse 12. So the first way we have to look at ourselves is, if we love God, we're going to keep His commandments, and they won't be a burden to us. They'll really be protection, and they really invite us, really. Number two, those who love Him persevere under trials. If we really love Him, we're not going to give up. We'll keep going. James chapter 1, look at verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Notice who the blessing is to. The blessing is not to the one who they tried hard, but in the end they gave up. The blessing is to those who persevere under trials. Perseverance is that ability that keeps on going forward. If you look at it just to break down the word itself, it literally means the ability to cut through. Sever, to cut, per, to go through. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Trials are here. Trials are coming. Does our love to the Lord have an effect on those trials? He says, if you really love Me, you'll persevere under trial. And then notice the promise that comes with it. Notice how He says it here. He says, for once He has been approved, because He persevered under trial, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. He says, here's what comes naturally because we're going to keep on walking with God. Even whenever those commandments come in, we have to decide, am I really going to honor the commandments of God or am I going to go in the direction of my own? This is becoming burdensome. Now what happens during trials? We just let go of God's hand. Now what do we miss out on? Truly loving God. What else will we forfeit? Crown of life. And that's what's promised to those who love Him. I want you to think about, we're not going to turn over and look at it, but there's a passage in Romans chapter 5. And it talks about in going through tribulations, it says, perseverance leads to proven character, which leads to hope. The moment we give out during the trials, we just throw up our hands and walk away. You're going to let go of hope. If you ever get to a time in your life as you walk with Christ and say, I have no hope, it means you gave up on perseverance. It means you decided you really didn't love the Lord anymore. That's what it really is. We say, oh, it's hard. God says, no. Will you trust me and hold my hand? Will you keep going even when things get difficult and hard? Or will you find yourself being hopeless because you gave up on perseverance? In the midst of those things, when you continue to walk with God through trials and difficulties, He will bring about the strength. He will take us from weakness to strong. Because we'll hold His hand and we'll walk with Him no matter what the difficulty is. We have seen this over and over again. To see an older husband or wife take care of their mate. They take care of them through a long-term difficulty. And sometimes on the outside we look in and we say, boy, I don't know if I could do that. That seems really hard. And what we forget is, they're not doing it by themselves. They're doing it because they love the Lord. They're doing it because that's the vow they took before God. They're doing it because they love the Lord. And what do you know they found through it all? They found strength. And sometimes we sit back and wonder, how do they do it? They do it because they love the Lord. They do it because they're going to keep His commandments. And those commandments are not a burden to them. And even after their mate passes away, they look back and they're thankful that they got to be there for those moments. And that's the grace that God shows when you go through the trials and the difficulties and you will not let go but continue to persevere. I want you to think of it maybe this way. Remember, the crown of life is promised to those who love Him. Promised to those who persevere under trial. If we get to that point in our lives where we're ready to let go, consider what you're really letting go of. You're letting go of eternal life. You're letting go of true love for the Lord. Because that's where the love of God is really seen. It's under trial. Do we really love Him, or is it just when it's convenient and easy? When difficulties come, do we say, I'm out, I'm done? And then we will wither away and die. The choice is, do we love Him? Do we love Him to where we keep His commands and they're not a burden? Do we love Him to persevere under trial? I want you to take a look at another one. Look at James chapter 2 and verse 5. James chapter 2 and verse 5. The context that begins in chapter 1 is about James telling them about you can't hold your faith and have personal favoritism. He says, that's not part of loving God. But I want you to look at verse 5. And there's two things that he brings up, two points that we need to see. Listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? The problem that they were having was they were showing favoritism to the rich over the poor. James says, have you forgotten? Don't you know? He says, don't you know that these are the things that the poor, this is, they're heirs of the kingdom? He says, the kingdom has been promised to those who love him. Two thoughts here out of the verse. Number one, money is not the problem and money is not the answer. I'm not dealing with the love of money. That's a different thing. Money in and of itself is not the problem and is not the answer. I want you to think of it this way. Nobody was ever held from loving God because of a lack of money. If we think because there's a certain amount of money we don't have that we can't draw near to God and love Him, we're lying to ourselves. It's a lie. If we think money is what gets in the way of us loving God with everything that we have, we're just deceiving ourselves. Someone may say, well, preacher, that's easy for you to say. You got a car and a house and a job and a family. That's easy for you to say. Well, let's put it this way. Jesus loved His Father. He didn't have a car. He very rarely got to ride on a donkey. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a house. He left his job in the carpentry business out of love for his father. And his family thought he was out of his mind. Did any of those things keep Jesus from loving his father? They won't keep us from loving Him either. If you consider it even a step further, look at the verse again. Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith? There is a type of faith that can be refined only whenever we lack the monetary things. So many times we lose sight of it. When we have a little jingle in our pocket, we forget who the giver and sustainer is. We start to think the protection comes because we have so much money in the bank. Money is not a protection. Life insurance is not a protection. It won't keep you from death. James wanted them to remember, here you are playing favorites to the rich over the poor. It would have been just as wrong if they'd have played favorites to the poor over the rich. But I want you to notice the rest of the verse. He says, and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. He says, remember, anybody can love him. Anybody, whether they are rich or poor, can keep his commandments and not have them be a burden. Anybody can persevere no matter what the money is under trials and difficulty because God will strengthen them and He'll give them hope. The statement he's really coming to is, you can't have a faith and love me that chooses favorites. You can't say, I'm just going to be with these people. Just, that's not loving me. Who is Jesus exclusive to? He loved the rebellious. He loved the faithful. But they didn't all get the same thing. He told them all what the truth was. They had to choose whether they would love God or not. But He wasn't going to pick and choose who had the opportunity. Now, if we love God, if we love Him, there won't be any personal favoritism as part of our faith. You want a way to look at ourselves? To examine what God sees? If we say that we love Him, how do we look at His commands? How do we respond under trial? Do we think money is the answer or the problem? Do we show favorites? If you look through those questions, that's what God's looking for in us. If we love Him, we keep His commandments, and they're not a burden. If we love Him, no matter how difficult it gets, we're going to keep on going, just like Jesus did. No matter whether there's money or not, we're going to love God with what we have. And on top of that, we're not going to pick and choose. We're going to imitate God, because He's the one that we love. Let's entertain a thought, though. What if in the midst of our weakness we do fail? What if in the midst of our weakness we do give up for a little bit? What in the midst of our weakness if we do show favorites? God invites us back because He loves us. He's ready to forgive. He says, I understand weakness. He says, I understand difficulty. He says, will you understand my forgiveness? And I want to draw you back to loving me. I want you to love me the way I desire to be loved. We may look at all these things and say, is there any reassurance? Is there any reassurance during difficulties? Is there any reassurance whenever the burdens become great? Is there reassurance when you have to decide to hold to His commands or not? Is there reassurance when there's not a whole lot of money? And the answer is yes. I'm going to read you the verse. It comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to this quotation that Paul gives. It's a quotation from the Old Testament. Things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Paul says, Corinth, you need to know. I'm telling you, saints, you need to know. It hasn't entered your heart, your brain, your mind, your eyes, your ears, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. So when you go through the trials, it's worth it to persevere and keep going. When you hold to His commands, it's worth it. They're not a burden to have stability in the midst of the storm. In terms of money, who cares? That's not what gives us strength. It's loving the Lord. It's a love that goes beyond knowledge. It's a love that goes into keeping His commands. And in the midst of it all, even when you get nothing in return from loving people, because you're not going to show favorites, it's worth it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the thought has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. The question for us today, in Jesus, sins washed away, do we really love Him? Because it'll be seen in your lives. And it's the greatest way that we encourage each other, is our love for the Lord.